James chapter 3, I put it on the back of the bulletin this morning, related to the fact of the tongue. James 3, verse 1, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits in the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Let's pray. Lord, you've made us able to communicate, share, to talk, to give ideas in writing. And this is a great thing, Lord, part of social interaction, communication, fellowship, teaching, preaching. So many things, sharing the gospel, are accomplished because we have the ability to speak and to express thoughts. And Lord, we're thankful for that. Now, that is a part of your grand design that is clearly something to be uplifted to you in praise. Or we also know that it is given to those who have fallen, that the tongue originally, without the influence of wickedness upon it, would only be good and will one day again be that way. But because of sin, Lord, we know that there is danger every day, every moment, that we will say something that is not proper in your sight. And many, Lord, unfortunately, do nothing but that. It's not an occasional thing. It is a constant thing every time they open their mouths. So, Lord, we pray for wisdom and insight to be very practical in the use of our tongue for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the hardest jobs, I've never done it, has to be that of a firefighter. I was watching the fires out west, saw some of the pictures, saw some of the men who came off the front lines fighting that fire, which apparently usually are set on purpose by people or carelessness. And it is extremely difficult. And people actually volunteer for this or decide to go into it. Now, there's a volunteer fire department just about in every place. I've never felt personally willing to join up. It is a hard job. Policeman is a hard job. A soldier has a hard job. A firefighter going into a fire, if you've ever watched when they have a hose, now the forest fire people, they dig trenches and they have things dumped from above and they they make fire lines and such as that. But the ones that are fought by hoses, you may have noticed that there's more than one man at the nozzle end of a fire hose. I'm talking about an actual official fire hose. And the reason for that is, I looked this up, that depending on the hose diameter and the pressure that can go through it, you need at least two men on the end of that thing to hold it and to direct it. Some require 3 to 4 men when that thing is pumped up to the absolute highest pressure to shoot the water farther or whatever to impact the fire to put it out. Without that, you would not be able to guide the water stream to the place you wanted it to go. If you had no men and you started one of those things up, I mean, it'd be like a wild octopus thrashing around. And it would not get where it was supposed to go. It would get the ground wet. It'd be fun to watch until the nozzle hits you in the head, but it would be dangerous. And that really is the way the tongue is. When you can direct your tongue properly toward what you want it to influence and to say what you want it to say, and more importantly, to say what God would have you say and the way to say it, without controlling that, it is a destructive force. It does not do any good. You've probably a number of times in your life said, I wish I hadn't said that. But of course, it's said. I wish I'd have said that differently. It's not uncommon, especially when I first started preaching, I'd get home and I'd say, why did I say it like that? I could have said it this way. It seemed like I got more clarity of thought when I got done than when I was actually doing it. So to put it to the right spot takes an act of will and strength and purpose, and the power of the tongue can direct words to that purpose. Now, as you saw as I read through here in James, James points out in dealing with the power of the tongue that it was different than a fire hose. He didn't say anything about the fire hose. He did talk about the forest fire. But he has such a respect for the tongue that he says you can't tame it. You can tame everything else, it seems, but you cannot tame the tongue. Taming means it becomes docile. It becomes, non-threatening. It's not dangerous anymore. You can control a tongue. You can learn to direct it properly. But you can't tame it. You can never let down your guard and just let it go. One thing that happens when you drink, I've found in my life, not from drinking, but from seeing people who drink, is that alcohol loosens your tongue. I had a cousin who was big on CB radio, and he liked to talk. We called it talking skip. It was at night, or during the day, actually, probably, where the atmosphere was in such a way where the signal would skip off of the atmosphere, and you could talk a long way. And you talk fast. And he said he always had to get some liquor in him before he could do that, to loosen his mouth. A lot of drunk people, if you ever see them drunk, not that we necessarily see a lot of those these days, I mean, they were talking out of their heads. They didn't know what they were saying. And, And later on, they would regret probably, in some cases, what they did say. But it is not able to be tamed. It is not able to be conquered. It's not something you can say, I'm done fighting that. It finally gave up. And there aren't a lot of things, I guess, you can let your guard down on, and the tongue certainly is not one of them. He starts off in verse 1, where he says, let not many of you become teachers. There's a few reasons why you wouldn't want to be a teacher. One is that you couldn't teach, or that you didn't know what to teach, or that you taught something improper. But that you're using more words as your profession. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. By speaking, by teaching, we're saying things that, because of the nature of the tongue, are so influential and powerful that if we say something wrong, it may mislead people from that point on. You may misguide someone, as people can misunderstand, and that be a different problem. But you can say something that's actually wrong, and that's a lot of people who take upon themselves a teaching mantle, saying that they should be teachers, shouldn't be teachers. A lot of the preachers we see on TV shouldn't be preachers. Their every word is piling up judgment against them because they're saying the wrong things, making people believe the wrong stuff. That's happening now in our country. A lot of people are being misled by people who are pushing, anarchy, racism. All these things are being pressed upon society now. And they're fomenting bad things with their tongue. God sees all that and will judge it. But in the meantime, it causes damage. I mentioned social media this morning. It's just a natural extension of the tongue. Your tongue, not that long. If you stick your tongue out, you can't go too far. I've seen people who be able to stick their tongue out and touch their nose. I don't know what that's about. But I don't have that ability. It's not that long. But a tongue in this society with this technology is all over the world. As I said this morning, the tongue of the wicked walks through the world, covers every spot of the world, and literally today it can, wherever there is an internet connection or phones, the network. So it gets out easy. The lady, Madame Curie, who discovered radiation, I think it was uranium, I'm not sure. But she discovered radiation, and it glowed. The uranium would glow. So she wore it around her neck. She had a little necklace made of it and wore it on her neck. It was fancy. Of course, her husband, dealing with it too, he died from radiation issues, and she also was infected by that because she didn't know. But with the tongue, we're told, if you can't control your tongue, don't be in a hurry to use it more. Have you ever thought a politician maybe should have taken some other job and not the job that he's taken? Politicians often, usually, have speech writers who give them their tongue for them, who tell them what to say, and they give a speech. And speech writers, of course, can make speeches better than just normal people. But you want to make sure, when you use a speech writer, that the speech writer is saying things that would be good to say so that you don't mess up if you go off script and say what you want to say and it turns out to be very damaging. So don't be all eager to be a teacher, because the judgment for teachers is stricter, since we should know more and we say more. Verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. As far as stumbling goes, we in our lives manifest the fall in different ways, and depending on a lot of different factors. And some people stumble in alcohol. Some people stumble in drugs. Some people stumble in lust of the flesh, things like that. There are different ways to stumble, and we would look at a person and see if they stumbled in that way, that they had gone in that direction, that sin had taken them, but not everybody goes that way. But with the tongue, he says, although we all stumble in many ways, many different ways, but with the tongue, everybody can stumble. And again, there are differences because people learn to speak less or to speak more clearly or to speak from a better source of knowledge. But if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. And we wouldn't say that about other things. We wouldn't say that if a person doesn't get drunk, he's a perfect man. Or if he doesn't take drugs, he's a perfect man. Because not everybody's afflicted by that. But with the tongue, it is a universal issue. And if you can control your tongue, you're a perfect man. You're mature. You're able to bridle the whole body as well. I always felt that when I was growing up, before I got my driver's license, that if I could learn to drive a straight drive, I could drive anything. Which isn't true, but it's true on the car level, I think. Once you learn to drive a straight drive, putting a thing in D isn't that hard. In contrast, I would think you'd probably say more like if we can drive an 18-wheeler, you might be able to drive anything. But if you can control your tongue, you have controlled something. You have harnessed a power that makes you so mature in your life that you can direct your whole body in the proper way. That's what he's saying. He mentions bits in the horse's mouth, verse 3. If we put bits into the horse's mouths so they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. My sister's not able to be with us tonight. She had a horse named Snoopy. He was a gentle thing. I saw him, never rode him. I waved to him a couple of times. He was so gentle. She decided one day she didn't need a bit in his mouth. And that's how she went on one of her wild rides, because she could not control the horse. I mean, he got spooked, whatever happened. She had to jump off. When you do that in a Western, you get right back up and start firing. It hurt her. But you put a bit in the horse's mouth and you can guide the horse. Just that little thing in his mouth. Well, that's the way the tongue is. Ships, verse 4. Although they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. You don't need a big rudder. You don't need a massive rudder. The bigger the ship, the bigger the rudder. But in percentage of the ship's total weight and substance, a rudder is a small thing. You can turn the entire boat by just that little bit. The wind blowing will just blow a ship wherever it wants to go, the wind wants it to go. If you want to direct it, and it's still one of the marvels to me of nature, that you can sail a sailboat And the wind doesn't have to be behind you. In fact, it probably is better off if it's not. You can sail better with it on the side or back a little bit. Or you can even sail into the wind some, but not directly. But the turning of it is just accomplished by a very small rudder. The helm is just move it to the direction you want it to go. So also, verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Little, but powerful. A small part of the body. It is not prominent. You don't have to ever. I'm not sure we're all adults here. When the last time was you stuck your tongue out at somebody and just showed it. I did a little while ago just to show I can't hit my nose with it. But usually it's not seen. And of course, we're talking with the tongue. We're talking all kinds of communication. As I mentioned this morning, fingers are used often in communication these days. But it is a little thing. The tongue is a small part of our body. And yet, it boasts of great things. It means it accomplishes far beyond its size. Accomplishes or destroys. You wouldn't think that it could do it. And verse 6, the tongue is a fire. Now, we're dealing with metaphors here. When you call something, like fire, a tongue is a fire, you're using a metaphorical description. You're identifying the tongue with fire. Fire is a destructive influence. It can be used for good things. But it is a fire, in this sense, in a bad way, the very world of iniquity. The tongue as a fire means it spreads destruction through the ideas it gives out. And we are very susceptible in our day to a tongue that is improperly used. We have a number of philosophies running right now in our society that have been mentioned and they've been picked up. And now they've become a central part of much of life. I've mentioned critical race theory. That is completely a recent thing that now many companies have adopted. They have to have sensitivity training. We hear about systemic racism, systemic white privilege. All those things are from critical race theory, which is not a biblical concept. And yet even the Southern Baptists have picked up on the terminology some and put it in a resolution that they shouldn't have. But that's just, that is how quickly words become powerful. This whole climate change thing has been going on for years. Not a bit of science about it. But it's been picked up in all the world and people will be going like, you don't believe that there's man-made climate change? You're a climate denier? And they can't believe it. And there's just many more. Postmodernism is a philosophy that keeps you from making a firm decision on absolute truth, because we've been told that you can't know truth absolutely, and if you say you can, you're proud and uppity, and so people have adopted that. So this goes on all the time. We really got to be careful. You hear things, and you just very quickly people are taken, and not just you, but the it sweeps the entire world. So it boasts great things. It is a fire. Fire destroys. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set, verse 6, among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. And is set on fire by hell. That pretty much says it, doesn't it? My little finger does not normally have that kind of boasting ability. I cannot set the course of my life with my little finger. But with the tongue, you do. It's hard to destroy your entire life with your little finger, but the tongue can do it. You can't spread false philosophies and incorrect and even hostile to God doctrine and unrest among men. You can't do that with your little finger, but you can with your tongue. And it is, of course, connected to the heart. And when the heart is wicked, the tongue is the avenue, the weapon of a wicked heart. One of. Our whole bodies, of course, can serve sin in that regard. But the tongue, it is a ready weapon. It is a fire. It is set on fire by hell, which means that much of the will of Satan is accomplished through the tongue. The Lord's desire is to bring healing and build up society and that people would come to know Him and obey Him and serve Him and one another. But the devil wants destruction. The devil wants to destroy the world. Now, he's not been able to. God does at the flood, and the Lord will do it again. But the Holy Spirit restrains the natural outbreak of evil to where it would just be a conflagration of fire that destroyed the world. And until that happens, the devil is just wanting to destroy as much as he can, and the tongue is a great way. I mean, I can't blame social media other than, you know, it just provides the outlet. There are a lot of people that use social media. They use it properly. But my personal wish would be the whole thing would go away because there's a whole lot more bad on it than good. And I think our lives would be better. But I'm all for technology and I'm all for freedom of speech, and so I wouldn't actually promote that. But if you want to use it right, you better get some people with tongues that aren't on fire who are using it. And there's so few of those. Every species, verse 7, of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. And even lions. Lions are tamed until one day they decide they're a little bit hungrier than they thought, and they eat you. But usually, you know, you get a lion to even do things and circuses and such, live with men. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. So it's a fire. It is a very world of iniquity. It is a restless evil. It does not stop being evil. Again, the potential of damage is in every person. The real destruction is among those whose hearts are unregenerate. It's just a matter of degrees. But Christians can also be very unwise with their tongue. Say things they should not. Think things that they should not. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. That is mentioned about the tongue. And when James talks about it here, he's not talking about it as a restless evil full of deadly poison that we should just stop using because it's too dangerous. No, it's not about that at all. It's about understanding that and making sure it's never poisonous and destructive and evil. Because it is, by its very nature, able to destroy. Verse 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Same mouth, two different entirely. Worship and slander. curse men, bless God. A lot of that would be, you know, hypocrisy, just putting on a show. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. I think he's saying all that not to dismiss the tongue. The tongue is part of our lives. But to direct it away from evil. We should not be those who speak one way among certain people, and then we have an entirely different way with someone else. We should be, our tongue should be sanctified to the point where it can't be tamed, but that we're not saying good and bad out of the same tongue. And we can do that by the Holy Spirit, self-control. You'll note that in the list, I've not gotten to it yet, but the wicked lack self-control. The righteous have self-control by the Holy Spirit. So James is talking to us very practically about using your tongue for good and not having it be both ways. Sweet water, bitter water, blessing, cursing, to focus on the one, to allow the one to be one. So many of the wicked are one the other way. You never hear from the wicked a good word unless it's flattery. As Solomon notes in Proverbs, a number of Proverbs. Our words, our speech should always be pure, seasoned with salt, directed in the proper way, controlled, influenced by a heart that has been immersed in the will of God, the truth of God. Then we say the right things. When you first start teaching, for me, preaching, it was one of the hardest things I had to contend with was my knowledge of what I wanted to say. I was not confident in every time early on. Because, you know, is that right? Is that really what I want to say? Is that true? And so I didn't want to say something that was just outright wrong. I still don't want to do that. Sometimes I do, I'm sure. But here he's saying, you know, what kind of fountain you want to be? You can't be both. It really is one or the other. If you have sweet and bitter water coming out of your fountain, you're bitter. Your impact is more evil than good. So that's what he's telling us. Not don't be teachers. Not don't speak. Not don't communicate. But to be righteous and control. Can't tame, but control and direct our tongues to healthy and righteous purposes. Let's all stand. David, would you dismiss us?